Thousands of people report seeing unexplained creatures just in the United States every year. What are they seeing? How does it impact them? What does it say about what's going on? These are some of the questions, of course, that led to the incredible film Monster Witness, an exploration of cryptozoology in America. It was done, of course, by none other than our past guest, Christopher Maloney, who's our guest tonight. And tonight we will look at Bigfoot, Mothman, Thunderbirds, and so many more creatures, because let me tell you, they're out there. Christopher Maloney, next with me on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Christopher Maloney, of course, independent documentary filmmaker. He was on with me a couple of years ago. His credits include The Death of Andy Kaufman, Great Story, Cole, and most recently, Monster Witness, which is talking about all these strange creatures that people reportedly see. Mothman, Bigfoot, Thunderbirds, skunk apes, and so many more. And here he is back on Coast to Coast. This is going to be another great one for you, Christopher. Good to have you back.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
When you do these movies, is it the topic that drives you, or do you go out and just search for it and you find it?
It's the topic that obsesses me until I realize that I need to make a movie about it, or else it's going to keep me up at night. So it's sort of like, you know, Werner Herzog is a filmmaker that I admire, and he said it's when he has ideas for a movie, it's like having a bunch of intruders in his house, and whoever is the most aggressive is the one he has to deal with first. So that's how it is for me. Whatever the idea is that I can't get rid of, that's the one that I need to make the movie about.
Well, I've got to tell you, nothing wrong with staying up late at night so you can listen to the radio show while you contemplate these movies and things. But when you put together Monster Witness and you started dealing with these cryptids and all these other creatures roaming all over the place, I'm convinced, Christopher, that people are seeing these things. I really am. What did you conclude?
Yeah, absolutely. At least the people that I spoke to for the movie, all of them, I can tell, were telling me the truth, or at least believe that they're telling me the truth. And, you know, there's so many millions of acres of land here in the United States alone that we don't really know much about. And there's plenty of room for these things to live, and every now and then people see them. But I definitely think that there are animals out there that haven't been documented yet, and that's what people are seeing.
I mean, this has always just excited me since I was a little boy, you know, when I would read about the abominable snowman in the Himalayas. And then it just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and I kept seeing all these other stories of creatures that were roaming the countryside. People are, you know what? I'm sure we have a handful of people who might be making up a story or two. But by and large, I think most people are decent, honest people, and they are seeing something. They're seeing creatures, whether they're Bigfoot or Thunderbirds or whatever. They're witnessing something.
Right, yeah. I mean, the people who have actually seen something, they all have something in common, in from what I found, and that is that they've been, for lack of a better word, traumatized by what they've seen, because most of these eyewitnesses, they, just like all of us, have a pretty clear understanding of what they understand to be real and make-believe, and then when they see something that blurs those lines, it can be very upsetting, and it changes their lives, whether they want their lives to change or not. It does.
It sure does. Now, the movie Monster Witness, it's already out. It's on the Destination America channel, which is available on demand. I think most cable companies have that, don't they?
Yes. Yeah, it's part of the Discovery Channel family, so most households that have the Discovery Channel are going to have that as well.
How did you sell them on the idea? That always fascinates me.
Yeah, well, Destination America is a network that's showing lots of things like that, things that have to do with the unexplained. So they have a movie in their roster called Southern Fried Bigfoot. And that was, I was able to meet the filmmaker of that just from doing my movie. Lauren Coleman, actually,
great
cryptozoologist.
Guy.
Yeah. He introduced me to the filmmaker of that movie. And that filmmaker, already with his movie on Destination America, contacted them on my behalf and put us in touch, and they saw it and they liked it, so they put it on their channel.
I'm going to throw out various creatures here for you and tell me how you handled it and what you think might be going on with these. Let's, of course, start with Sasquatch Bigfoot. How did you approach it in the Monster Witness film, and what have you discovered here?
Bigfoot is the most prevalent cryptid that I came across, for sure. That's the one that everybody knows about. And that one is unique, I guess, because there are sightings that come from all over the continental United States, not just one secluded area, like Mothman, for example. Bigfoot is supposedly everywhere. So I talked with somebody who goes out looking for a skunk ape, which is just kind of another word for Bigfoot in the southern part of the United States. And he says that he has encountered skunk ape 8 or 9 times. And then contrast that with the people I talk to in Northern California who are seeing like the traditional idea of what we call Bigfoot. And in Northern California, there are these places, these wooded areas that, you know, I was driving by them and I thought, I don't even know how I would get into that area if I wanted to. So if there is a Bigfoot species living there, they're probably safe from people like me because we don't know how to even get in there to bother them. But in that area, culturally and just because of the amount of sightings, I'd say if you're looking for a Bigfoot, the Pacific Northwest is probably the best bet.
Yeah, we get lots of incredible reports and stories out there. You know, Florida has, of course, the skunk ape as well. But I think that's a different creature. I think the skunk ape, Christopher, is a creature, you know, indigenous to this planet.
Yeah, I think there have been some differences pointed out. I think the skunk ape is supposed to be shorter and more aggressive, from what I understand. And then the Bigfoot is supposed to be taller, more elusive, and more shy and retiring.
The people that you interviewed on camera for Monster Witness, how did you find them?
Well, I started putting feelers out, actually. I started reading everything I could about cryptid sightings. And whatever names I could uncover, I would contact them. Some were willing to do an interview, some weren't. But the ones that were, and the ones who wanted to participate, they would tell me, oh, you should talk to this person, or you might want to reach out to this person. And what I found was that it was the cryptid eyewitness community is a pretty tight-knit and small community. They all seem to either know each other or know someone who knows someone who's seen something like they have. And so that was how it happened. I found most cryptid eyewitnesses, they did want to talk, and they wanted someone to listen to them who wasn't going to make fun of them. And then when they saw that what I was doing was trying to put together like an oral history and not exploit them, then they wanted me to talk to their friends as well.
Were any of them scared to death, practically, when you interviewed them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, do you mean during the interview or from what they saw?
What had been happening to them?
Yeah, definitely. There was the person I mentioned who saw the skunk ape. It scared him because there was a time when the skunk ape actually charged him and knocked over a tree nearby.
Oh, jeez.
So, it scared him to death. But he's so fascinated by it that he still goes out at least once a week into the swamp trying to see it again. So he's terrified, but he's anything, any category in his mind to put it into. He saw something that just seemingly was from another planet or another dimension or something. And it, you know, he was really too young to even know what to do about it.
The Thunderbird stories, I love. The huge birds. And did you get anybody who actually saw any of these birds?
I did. I talked to a man named Robin Swope. He's a minister in Pennsylvania, the Erie, Pennsylvania area. And he was in addition to doing ministerial work, he was also doing groundskeeping for this cemetery in the area. So he was out. This was an undeveloped area. They had about 50 acres of land that they hadn't used yet. And he was mowing that area next to a very large wooded patch. And he saw kind of a disturbance coming from that area. And he looked over and saw this enormous bird fly out of the woods with all these tiny birds kind of pecking at it. He said it was larger than a heron, larger than a crane, larger than anything he'd ever seen. It was totally black. It had like a prehistoric look and a triangular tail. And he got a very good view of it. But he's, like I said, he's a minister. And he said that, you know, for him, cryptids are just part of God's creation. And since they are so special and since they are so rare, it's up to us to take care of them and respect them.
It was black, but was it feathered?
It was feathered, yes.
So it couldn't have been a pterodactyl, but who might have been in the family?
Right. I mean, he definitely said it had a prehistoric look.
Reports of these creatures picking up animals. One picked up a little boy in Illinois. Mom had to come out and knock the thing with a broom to drop the kid before it got up too high. That could have been horrible. And I've always wondered, Christopher, where are these birds taking these animals? And where was it going to take this little boy? To a nest where other birds were?
That would be my guess. To a nest, maybe to feed its young. I'm not sure. I know that I talked to somebody. He didn't end up being able to be in the film, but he has seen Thunderbirds a couple of times near where he lives, and it's his opinion that there's a in the woods near his house. So, I imagine they'd behave like any other birds, just much larger.
Of all the creatures that we're going to be talking about tonight, we'll get into Mothman in a second, but which is the one that so many people say that they think they see? Is it Bigfoot?
Bigfoot, yeah. That's the one that I hear the most about.
Yeah, Bigfoot wins hands down, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually, I don't even think it's, as far as reported sightings, I don't think it's the one that gets cited the most. Lauren Coleman told me that it's usually a phantom black cat, like a
giant panther.
Black cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
With red eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Hate those things. Like the movie The Omen. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now that's the one that gets seen apparently the most, but we don't hear about that one as much as we hear about Bigfoot.
When you were putting together the film, which cryptid was the one you really enjoyed working on?
I think my favorite is Bigfoot, and it's just because it seems like there's some kind of connection between people and Bigfoots that maybe not everyone is completely comfortable discussing. I think that if we ever get definitive proof of a Bigfoot species, we'll see that maybe they're more like us than we thought, more like people than animals. And that's the one that was the most interesting, because it's almost like we're we're looking for an extension of ourselves, or we're seeing an extension of ourselves when we see a Bigfoot.
And how about Mothman? What's Mothman, Chris?
Mothman is interesting. Mothman, probably most of your listeners know, but back in the 60s, people in this tiny town in West Virginia, Point Pleasant, started seeing this winged creature with these red glowing eyes about the size of a grown man, flying in this particular area outside of town. And the sightings were increasing and getting more and more intense. And then out of nowhere, the bridge connecting Point Pleasant across the Ohio River to Ohio totally collapsed.
Yes, it sure
and,
did.
Yeah, several people were killed. And then after that, the Mothman seemingly disappeared. So the theory is that perhaps it was trying to warn people that there was a disaster coming, or perhaps it brought about the disaster. It was like an omen for something bad happening.
Yeah.
But, unlike a Bigfoot, where reports are coming in all the time, the Mothman happened and then seemingly disappeared.
We don't get Mothman reports anymore, do we?
No, not at all.
I wonder if it was like an extraterrestrial creature and it just took off.
Yeah, I've heard that theory, like an extraterrestrial or something from another dimension. One thing, I read John Keel's book, The Mothman Prophecy.
Yeah.
And he talked about how there was this spiritualist group that used to meet in that area and used to have seances and things like that. And he mentioned that perhaps it was some kind of spirit that they conjured up.
I'll always remember the Mothman movie off of Keel's book, which made no sense. The book was 100 times better than the movie in that case.
Yeah, the book was more coherent.
I mean, the movie was bouncing all over the place, and mm-hmm. with Richard Gere was in it. It didn't have any cohesiveness to it at all. Yours does, which is good, because yours is done as a almost like a documentary.
Oh yeah, it's a documentary. It's mostly it's really just eyewitnesses talking about what they've seen, and in some cases taking me back to the place where these sightings happened, and letting me, you know, get that footage of where it was, and where they were in relation to it and that sort of thing. But I think of it as almost like it's similar to people gathering around a campfire and telling ghost stories.
Oh, yeah.
It's really just
same
telling their ghost stories.
Great stories as well. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour we'll take your phone calls as we talk about creatures. Maybe you have stumbled across a few of those. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Christopher Maloney with us as we're talking about his latest film, Monster Witness. And, of course, he did The Death of Andy Kaufman. That was always intriguing to me, Christopher, that whole story with Andy Kaufman. What even got you interested in that?
Well, I really was just interested as a fan. Beginning when I was in high school, I was a really big fan of Andy Kaufman. And then you can't really be a fan of Andy's without, hearing something about the legends and the mythology about his death. So I just did some research about why there's a doubt as to whether or not he's really dead. And that's really what the movie is about, the possibility that he might have faked his death.
I mean, that I remember that story when it happened, and it's all over the place. It's kind of, talk about death, it's died down a little bit, but a lot of people still think he faked it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a good deal of evidence to that. I talked to his brother in the documentary. I did an interview with him, and he said, I've come to terms with Andy being gone. I really do think that he's gone. However, there's nothing in this world that's impossible. So maybe he's out there.
Did he say that with a gleam in his eye?
I think it's fun for him to think about. I mean, it's fun for any of us to think about the people we've lost, you know, not really being gone. So, yeah, that's something that may or may not be true about Andy.
Yeah. Let's get back to your Monster Witness film. Did anybody, any of the witnesses who saw any of these creatures ever report being attacked or hurt by any of them?
The only one was the person in Florida who has seen or heard the skunk ape 8 or 9 times. It actually did, according to him, charge him and knock over a tree. I don't know if it was actually trying to hurt him. I think he thought that it was trying to just get him out of the area. But, yeah, I asked him, if something happened and you died because you got attacked by a skunk ape, but your death led to the scientific community knowing for sure that skunk apes exist, would that be worth it? And he said, no, not at all. My life is more important.
I would think so.
Yeah.
You know, I've interviewed some people who would love to go on Bigfoot hunts and shoot Bigfoot. And, you know, that drives me nuts. I tell them, don't shoot him. You know, I don't even like the fact that people would capture him. But,
no,
you know, that's better than shooting.
No, I think that shows a real disconnect between us and the things that are really interesting and beautiful in this world. I mean, we should be just awe-inspired, and we should be fascinated and intrigued. The last thing we should do is try to hurt them or kill them. That's something I don't understand.
Did you deal at all with the Loch Ness Monster, or just primarily with North American cryptids?
Yeah, I did try to keep it confined to the United States, but I've said before I would love to do a sequel that allowed me to go to Scotland and cover the Loch Ness Monster, because the Loch Ness Monster was the first cryptid I was ever aware of when I was a kid. I happened upon this library or this book in the school library that was about the Loch Ness Monster, and pretty much ever since then I've been hooked. But that was, as far as cryptozoology, that was my first love. It's something I'd love to go and look for myself.
Oh, there's so many just great stories out there. In Ireland, for example, the stories of the leprechauns and little people. I mean, all of that is amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think there's some real truth, even to things like leprechauns or mermaids or anything like that, simply because the stories go back so, so long. They're so ancient. To me, there has to be something. Now, whether they're all, I think that a lot of people believe in the same thing. And I think some people call them angels, and some people call them fairies, and some people call them, you know, merfolk.
Yeah. But
I think a lot of those things, we're all kind of admitting that there might be something other than just us.
What do you think of let's get back to the Mothman stories for a moment, and we'll hit these other creatures. But they've died off. They've gone away. What does your gut tell you about that?
About Mothman?
Yeah, and the fact that the stories are gone.
Right. I think that, I'm not sure. That's something. Mothman is one of the most intriguing out of that whole subject, because it just came and went. Something that Lauren Coleman said actually about the Dover Demon, he said it's, because that was another one that appeared just for a few days at a time and then was gone. He said it's almost like something just dipped into our dimension and then dipped right back. Almost like they're testing the waters or something. They were here long enough to get seen and noticed, and then they went back to wherever they came from.
A lot of people thought it was like a big barn owl. I don't think so. That's a big owl.
I think people in that area know the difference between a barn owl and something else. I mean, this is a very rural community. So if it was an owl or if it was a sand crane, which I think other people have said, I think the people there would know if that's what it was. And if that's what it was, it wouldn't send them running to the police station to report it.
No, not at all. Not at all. And back with Bigfoot for a moment. Why do you think we can't get a skeleton something? And then we're going to get into some DNA sample questions with you in a minute. But why can't we find the remains of a dead Bigfoot?
That's a good question. That's something that I've heard a lot of skeptics ask. That's something that really trips a lot of people up. But I remember someone saying that, or I remember reading about, bears. We never find bear skeletons in the woods. It's extremely rare, but we all know that bears exist. Asking for something like Bigfoot, which is obviously endangered and a lot more rare, expecting to be able to just go out and find skeletons of that is kind of impractical and impossible. The other thing is I've read there are people who theorize that Bigfoots actually bury their dead the way that we do.
I was going to just bring that up. That's a possibility.
Right. So when a Bigfoot dies, especially if, like some people have said, they're more human than animal, that could be part of their ritual or part of their social structure, that they just go out and bury them.
Of all these creatures that you've looked at, do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I guess it would have to be, well, as far as just loyalty and what got me interested, it would have to be the Loch Ness Monster. But for one that I actually like to see, I would love to see a Bigfoot in the wild.
Would it scare you? Would you go up to it?
I'm sure it would scare me. Before I started Monster Witness, I would have wholeheartedly wanted to see a Bigfoot. Now I still want to see one, but knowing how it affects people and how it kind of changes their lives, whether they want it to or not, I'm a lot more reluctant than I used to be.
What about stories of the little Bigfoot, like, babies?
Oh, yeah, I'm drawing a blank on what it's called, but there's supposedly a type of primate that's, I think people have nicknamed it the Hobbit, but it's a type of primate that walks on two legs. It's bipedal, and I guess similar to a Bigfoot, but much smaller. But those are stories that actually I've heard cryptozoologists say that those are probably the safest bet about what is going to be discovered to be a real animal. It'll probably be that.
The descriptions of this creature, pointed head, 8 feet tall. You think it could be an extraterrestrial dumped here?
That's not what I have concluded. No, I think it's a primate. I think it's an ape that lives in North America, and it's something that is a real animal, and it's something that lives and breathes just like us.
So you don't think it's the missing link between man and ape?
I don't know. I know that that's been theorized, definitely. I know other people have said that they think it's a Gigantopithecus.
Yeah.
A prehistoric ape-like creature, but I'd say it's probably just a new species that maybe eventually we'll have to include in the books.
It could be. Now, I'm a little frustrated that real science doesn't do its own investigating here. It's almost like they don't care.
I think there are some people in the science community who are very excited by new possibilities, and they want to find what's out there no matter what the cost. And then I think there are other people in the scientific community who are kind of puffed up by their own knowledge and their own ability to say, well, this is real and this isn't, and this is worth my time and this isn't. And I think it's that division maybe that keeps things like Bigfoot from being more of a priority.
All I know is that when people go out and try to investigate these creatures, they come across and they see strange things happen, creatures running across the road. Some people hear strange creatures screaming in the woods. Something's going on out there, Christopher.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There are a lot of animals that we now count as actual species that we've documented. You know, like certain types of gorillas and certain types of panda bears that have only really been conclusively documented in the last 100 years or so. And up until that point, the only evidence that we had of creatures like that was people's stories, people's eyewitness accounts. And that's why these eyewitness accounts that we have now should be taken seriously, because eventually when we do have definitive proof of the animal Bigfoot, that will be the evidence that we can work with. But for now, it's just these stories, and that's why we need to pay attention to them and draw our conclusions from them.
And why aren't they taken seriously?
I think people have a major stigma with things like that. I mean, the same reason why there were certain people who were reluctant to appear in my film. They don't want to be known as the guy who saw this or the person who saw a Bigfoot, because it's such a significant experience that I think they're afraid that that's just going to mark them for life. And to be fair, for some people it does.
Well, maybe so, but still, it would be a great discovery, would it not?
Oh, absolutely.
And the Thunderbirds, same with them.
Yeah, any of these creatures, to be able to go from it being, you know, similar to a bunch of ghost stories to it being a real animal that we can learn about and see in person, I think it'd be very exciting.
Did you do anything about the chupacabra?
I thought about it. I wasn't really able to find a good number of reliable eyewitnesses. I think chupacabra is almost like the word that gets applied to things that don't fit anywhere else necessarily. Unlike some of these other creatures that I covered that seem to have, from story to story, similar characteristics, chupacabra is kind of all over the place.
Well, there's no question about that, but there's some kind of creature out there. You know, a lot of people think it's a mutant dog or something. I think it's much more than that.
Yeah, I know that sometimes, like, a dog with mange or a fox with mange,
yes,
will get called a chupacabra in the news, but, yeah.
So tell me about Crypto Trip.
Well, Crypto Trip is, when I was on your show the last time,
mm-hmm.
Crypto Trip was the full title that I had given this documentary. So it started out as Crypto Trip. It was an hour and 15 minutes long. And when Destination America decided to include it in their roster, they shortened it. They edited it for time and then changed the title to Monster Witness. So Monster Witness and Crypto Trip are really the same movie, but Crypto Trip is like the director's cut.
Which is your favorite cut?
Well, as the director, I guess I'd have to say I prefer the director's cut. But if people go to the website, monsterwitness.com, that's where they can purchase the director's cut. So if they want to see just Monster Witness, then Destination America. If they want to see the director's cut, then Crypto Trip.
Monster Witness is a pretty good name, though.
Yeah, it's not bad. I think it's less, well, see, Crypto Trip is just a made-up word, so I think people, when they hear that, they're not really sure what it's about, but Monster Witness is pretty clear that it's, what you're going to see is people talking about seeing monsters.
Who is the most compelling witness in your film?
For me, it would have to be a man by the name of Dwayne Hodgkinson.
What did he see?
He's in his he's in his 90s. He's a World War II veteran, and he saw what he claims was a pterodactyl, a flying dinosaur. He was in the service. He was stationed in Papua New Guinea for a while, and he was there. He went out to kind of explore the area and see the village nearby, and he saw what he swears up and down was a pterodactyl. It rose up out of the forest. It circled around so he could have a perfect eye view and then flew up into the sky. And he's, like I said, he's in his 90s now. And that's
pretty convincing.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. He said it changed his concept of time totally, because here's this creature that is not supposed to exist here and now, but he can't deny that it was right in front of his eyes.
Well, you know, if any kind of creature during that dinosaur era was going to survive, it would either be deep sea life or birds, or, you know, reptiles that fly.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, technically speaking, I don't believe there were any flying dinosaurs. Now, there were flying reptiles, like what we would call pterodactyl, but I'd say that might be what happened, that these animals that were right on the fringe of during that time period, but not quite dinosaurs, some of them may have survived. And that's when people see what they're calling a pterodactyl, that could be what they're seeing.
For folks who want to go see this film, Monster Witness, how do they find it?
Well, if they go on their television, if they have a cable carrier, they can find it on demand, or they can go to monsterwitness.com to buy the DVD.
Great. Christopher, thanks again, and many success to you. I know the death of Andy Kaufman was a great story, and you're right. I mean, a lot of people still think Andy's still around, too, but this one, Monster Witness, some incredible, incredible creatures that are out there. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM, so don't touch your dial.